first drink of the day. The first drink of the day. The first drink of the day. The first drink of the day.
So, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Football Podcast, show number 89, after an enforced one-week absence. Would anyone like to explain the absence?
Yes, not really.
Go on, Dan.
Oh, gladly.
Dan Silva is going to explain the absence.
So, we're all geared up to do it on a Wednesday.
Basically, I went on holiday and no one else bothered to do it. That's the answer.
No, that's what happened. You left us without any recording equipment. How are we supposed to do it without recording equipment?
You say recording equipment,
you should have left
your iPhone.
Phone. Yeah. I should have left my phone.
Yeah. Right, we've got Dan Silver here. We've got Jerome Munda around the table as well. Aston Villa.
This should kick off today, I'm not going to lie.
Aston Villa reserves, number one fan. Yep. Sean Miller is with us.
Good afternoon.
We've also got the Johns as well, two guest Johns, who we'll speak to later as well. Say hello now.
Looking forward to hello.
Hello.
John 1, John 2.
Good start, Jono.
basically, it's 30 degrees, so everyone's just come out to the pub. Yeah. We've also got a girl at the table.
A girl?
Don't tell them that.
Amy, would you like to say hello?
I said hello.
Good, that's all you're doing. You are not.
I'm just going to put it out there now. You know how every now and again we might get distracted by the odd attractive lady walking past?
No, not all of us. You.
Are you still
whore, mostly?
Yeah, come on, I think there might be a few more distractions today than normal.
Just as you said that, a guy in jogging bottoms and nothing else walks right past and everyone stares at him. Not good. Right, show number 89. At the end of the 1989-1990 season, Colchester United were relegated from the Football League. Right. And who took their place as the champions?
Was it Darlington?
It was Darlington, sure. Well read over my shoulder. Obviously, at the end of last season, all the stuff about Darlington was going on, so I was going to give you a quick Darlow update. It's good news and bad news, to be honest. The club's still in some sort of existence, but they didn't manage to get a CVA. If they got a...
What's a CVA?
Company voluntary agreement.
Yeah. Thank you very much.
If they got one of those, then the club could have continued, possibly in the conference or wherever they would have been, but they didn't come through with that. So basically, they've had to change their name. So they are now called Doncaster 1883.
Doncaster, what would
Darlington 1883. They're playing at completely changed town. Yeah, they're playing at Bishop Auckland FC,
right?
Which has got a capacity of about 2,000.
Really, from their 25,000 seats.
From the
which ruined them basically. Yeah.
The Reynolds Arena, but then it became the Darlington Arena. But yeah, that was pretty much the basis of most of their problems.
What's happening to the stadium now?
I don't know. I presume they're going to sell it off.
Flats.
Or they might
flats,
try and... I like the fact we've just said, flats. We've got no basis for saying that. We've just said, flats.
Everyone wants a flat in Darlington.
They knocked down my favourite 7-a-side place in Liverpool Street. Do you know why?
Who, Doncaster?
Flats.
Doncaster?
Bastards. No.
We're talking about Doncaster?
No. Still.
Right, so Darlington 1883 are going to be playing in the Northern League Division 1, which is the ninth tier of English football for the season.
At least they still exist.
Bang on, mate. Absolutely. They've won three of their... They've played three pre-seasons for any so far, and they've won them all. And their first league game is on Saturday the 18th of August, which I think is the same as the Football League kicks off, isn't
it? Yeah, exactly.
And they're playing Bishop Auckland away.
They're playing staff, have they kept a lot of them?
I can tell you that. The only one that I recognise from the playing staff is Sean Gregan.
Oh,
who,
right, wow.
Interestingly, has played in all four divisions.
Yeah,
he's been
everywhere. I think he was at West Brom in the Premier League, so he's played in the Premier League, Oldham, Preston. I remember him most familiarly from Preston.
Yeah, Preston.
He was playing for Darlington at the end of last season, so Darlington 1883 have then taken on his... He's never played for Doncaster as well. And Martin Gray is the manager. Martin Gray he's a former player. He's been caretaker manager of Darlington a few times. And the stance from the FA is that they're still recognising them as Darlington, but they've still had to change their name because of the voluntary agreement and stuff like that. And just a quick follow them, official_Darlow on Twitter, and have a look at the website. That's where I got all this information from, darlington1883.co.uk.
Right, excellent.
Right, let's talk football. We've had 2 weeks since the last show.
Yeah.
What should we start with? Jay, you wanted to start with a brilliant Team G performance against Brazil, didn't you?
It's not been a lot of football, has it?
Yeah.
It's not been a lot of football.
But There's been a lot of news.
Yeah, there's been a hell of a lot of news, but there is going to be some football with the Olympics starting. Tonight, I believe, isn't it?
The women's start tonight.
Yeah, at 4
yeah.
o'clock.
Yeah, they do. Yeah, in Cardiff.
And it's pay on the gate, apparently.
Oh, well. Who's playing tonight, anyone know?
Team GB versus New Zealand.
Yeah.
Kicks off at 4 p.m. GB
time. Dominate that.
And I think it's about 4 o'clock in the morning New Zealand time, so I can't imagine many New Zealand fans are going to be watching it, but hey, you never know. And it's at Cardiff, but you can pound the gate apparently.
Right. But there you go, if you're listening
but
to this.
So Jay, you
a
watched,
day too late I in Cardiff.
No, it'll be up this afternoon, won't it?
No, it'll be out.
Probably Thursday. Yeah. Anyway, Jay, you watched most of the game on?
I watched most of the game.
You can tell the guy who hasn't got a good social life. Jay watched all of the Team GB play on Friday night.
I was comatose on a bus, so Jim had to put me on.
That is true.
I was flicking in and out. Crap tackle one.
There you were, you dirty boy. Go on,
crap
Jay.
Tackle for Micah Richards, wasn't it?
It was, yeah. After, it was a, I don't know.
Get Beckham in.
Pop performance by all the team. But you can expect that because they've never played together. They're playing a team that's been playing together for
all. Hey, they played Mexico in a friendly, didn't they? And got dicked like 3-0.
Who that? Brazil.
Team GB.
Man, them. Who that?
No, that's it, isn't it?
Yeah, they played. I'm sure they played a friendly.
Yeah, they did.
Behind closed doors or whatever.
No, they did. It was on TV. I watched that game as well. So
what I found strange as well.
When was that?
They lost
3-0. Brazil and Mexico.
Not Team GB.
Oh, I thought Team GB.
Sure, I mean, no, this is the first game Team GB have played.
I think Team GB played a friendly.
I thought this was the first friendly they played.
All right. Stand to reason.
But the Brazil team.
Isn't the John? He knows what he's talking about.
They was playing. They've been playing together for about like leading up to basically the Olympics and obviously the World Cup as well.
And frankly, they're
together.
Bloody good.
And they've got some quality players in that squad as well. So,
did you see as well that Gareth Bale played?
Why would you?
Well, we're talking about Team GB.
Yeah.
I heard it this morning.
Yeah, so did I. So obviously, if it's a Spurs thing...
Rather than having an argument... Do you want to explain to listeners that might not know?
Look, I'm a bit angry, failing you, like, right? Well, it's just come out, hasn't it, that Sepp Blatter has said that they might ban... Gareth Bale from playing for Tottenham while the Olympics are on.
I didn't know this. I didn't know this stance to it. I just knew that he played.
Oh.
He scored against LA Galaxy.
Yeah, it's a great goal.
And he pulled out the Team GB score because he's unfit.
Sorry, leading on from that then. It's just come out literally about 20 minutes ago. Blatter has said, like I said, they might ban Bale because he declared himself unfit for the Olympics, and if the only the only way they will
and he was in all the marketing stuff. He was the first one wearing the Team GB shirt.
He said he wanted to play. Exactly. So the only way, I don't know why Blatter's come out and said it, because there's been a bit of whinging about it because of him playing, but the only way they'll uphold it, or he will, FIFA will uphold it, is if the FA launch an official complaint about it.
While the Olympics is on.
Yeah.
But so it's only going to be friendlies.
It's bollocks, really, isn't it? Like, how many players don't play international friendlies or international games or something like that because they've got a niggling injury, they don't want to risk it?
Four or five weeks ago,
when they named the squad or whatever it was, he wasn't fit. And, you know, he's probably getting back to fitness now. Mm. It might have been a bit too late. He didn't want to risk it. He obviously wanted to play, and it's his decision.
Has he pulled out of the full competition? He's not playing at all.
Does that mean he obviously wants to play? He's played it.
When someone comes out and says, "I really want to play," that normally means they want to play.
Well, yeah, but
he's now playing in a friendly for Tottenham as opposed to playing.
That was 4 weeks ago, and he's been building up to fitness.
He's a naughty boy. He's the first naughty boy of the year.
Supposedly, have you seen? I don't know if he has, but his lovely is that he has got now seem to be slightly closer to his head.
Oh, really?
I mean, this could be it's pure speculation, but seeing the photos of him in LA, his ears do look slightly closer to his head than they were before. So he might have had a little bit of nip and tuck, so to speak.
Sasa Cercic did that once when he was playing for Villa. He just didn't turn up for a couple of games and training for about a couple of weeks, and he came back with a new nose.
Maybe that's what Modric is doing. He's always going to be a bit further away. Yeah. He's got really weird eyes. So the first Team GB men's game in the actual Olympics is tomorrow night.
Yeah.
8 p.m. against Senegal, which would be quite interesting.
The most important one for us, though, is... Week today. Gabon versus South Korea.
Yay. We are doing a podcast out into Gabon. Yep. Gabon versus South Korea. Gabon are massive dark horses, I think.
They're going to do it.
They made the last 8 in the African Nations Cup.
Yep, they did.
They lost. They made the last 8. I don't know. There was probably only 10 teams in it, but
yeah, they were also hosting it.
Basically, what happened was we wanted to do a podcast out and to watch the Olympics. We looked at Team GB playing at Wembley against United Emirates, and the smallest price was about £80. And then we saw there was tickets for £10 for Gabon versus South Korea. Yeah. So we thought we'd have some of that. So that's what we're going to.
Yep.
So we'll do a little report from that, which will be this time next week, which will be lovely. Is anyone actually interested? Is anyone actually interested in this Team GB?
Can you see yourself? So now that Bell's pulled out.
That's a bit of a disappointment.
Bale pulled out ages ago.
How did I miss this?
He was never in the squad. Podcast, always keeping abreast. does sound like we're getting attacked a little bit, but don't worry.
Yeah, the tanks aren't rolling, don't worry. Yeah.
I can't see myself getting really behind the team.
If I see it on the TV, I might watch it.
I'm going to watch a game. Like tomorrow night's game, I'm going to be interested.
It's football on the TV, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
which everyone's sort of gagging for.
I've been having withdrawals.
But I don't know if they get a decent result or something happens in one of those games, they might get a little bit of. The one thing I said is I was talking about this on Friday lunchtime.
You're struggling finishing your sentences today, aren't you? You just sort of seem to be tailing off at the very end of every sentence.
Anyway, Friday. I was in the booth with a few people, and lots of people in there didn't know that Team GB were playing that night. And the point I made that is, if Beckham was playing, it would have been on the front page, it would have been on the back page, everyone would have known, everyone would have been watching. It was worth keeping him in, just
Stuart Pearce massively missed the trick there, didn't he?
Without a doubt.
Yeah.
Global figure.
Yeah, definitely.
And it got in for him as well, because he got the Olympics.
He did it single-handedly. He won the Olympics for us.
Seb Coe helped a little bit, and that was about it. Apart from that, no one else.
Mainly David Beckham.
A few kids.
He's just been absolutely sharp. But there we go.
Yeah.
So Great Britain Senegal on Thursday, Sunday night Great Britain versus UAE, and then the last game against Uruguay, which is the one at Millennium Stadium, which would be quite good as well.
Yeah.
The other thing is, just so happens that there's how many Welsh players are there in this squad? About five. Just so happens, because there's like a couple of games at Millennium Stadium, so it's not as if they're just trying to sell tickets. Let me go through the actual squad for you. Jack Butland, we don't know much about at all.
Played really well though, didn't he, in the second half of the year?
In the what? In the game,
the Brazil game, yeah.
Jason Steele. Defence, Ryan Bertrand, left back, that we obviously know about now. Stephen Coulcott, who's a Spurs lad, isn't he? He was out on loan
at
Swansea
last year.
Pushing for a first team place, apparently.
Do you know anything? Obviously,
he's supposed
King,
to be really good.
King
I've seen
gone,
him play,
Ryan Nelson gone.
Yeah, well,
are they going to keep him then? Or?
Oh, no, definitely. I mean, supposedly, I read today that Michael Dawson is supposed to be announced as the new club captain.
That makes sense.
I'm not, well,
he's been captain in games before, though, hasn't
he? Yeah, but I'm not sure he'll start. I love Dawson, but if. Vertonghen and Cabal would be my first choice centre back partnership. But apparently he's been named club captain. But so we've now got a few centre backs. You know, he's
not the Spurs show.
He's highly rated. You asked me about Stephen Coulcott, and he's very highly rated at Spurs, and he's pushing for a first team place apparently. So
cool. Is he playing under 21s for England?
Yeah.
Craig Dawson, Micah Richards, Danny Rose. Danny Rose is another strange one as well. Like, yeah, he's 22 now.
I don't really rate him.
No.
I don't think he's going to do push. Much, is he?
Yeah, no.
Last couple of defenders, Neil Taylor, the Swansea lad, Welsh, James Tompkins at West Ham.
Yeah.
He was a player that looked like he was going to be really good, and then he's gone off the boil a little bit. So it's a big
but had a good season, good yeah, season last year, but that yeah, was
exactly,
a leap below.
In the Championship.
I think he needed that, to be fair.
Probably. Midfield, Joe Allen. There's still loads of speculation about him going to Liverpool.
Yep. Supposedly.
Yep. And Spurs.
Oh, really? I didn't know that. I read again this
Spurs,
morning. This morning that Liverpool have, Swansea, sorry, have accepted a £12.5 million.
It's a lot of money, though, isn't it?
It is a lot of money.
I know he's young and he's British, so you're going to pay over the odds.
Although, I read another interesting stat this morning as well, that his pass completion rate was higher than Iniesta.
I think
Leon Britton was higher than Xavi.
Joe Allen was higher than Iniesta.
I guess if you're looking at Liverpool's recent spending history, then he's like two-thirds as good as
absolute bargain.
Jordan Henderson.
All right, let's move on. Tom Cleverley, Jack Cork at Southampton is an interesting one. Obviously, Giggsy we know about, Aaron Ramsey, Scott Sinclair, and then Craig Bellamy, Marvin Sordell, Daniel Sturridge.
Good to see Sturridge back in.
Yeah.
After
glad he's recovered from.
Amazing as well because.
Yeah, unbelievable.
Two weeks pretty much from the end of it, and he's back in there. Probably a testament to the healthcare he had and stuff like that. I'm sure not a lot of other people would be able to come through what he did.
No.
Because it just saps all your energy completely, doesn't it? He's managed to gain himself back up. Yeah. But Marvin Sordell as well is an interesting one.
He
was at Watford, he's now at Bolton. But he didn't really get much of a look in. I think he only went during in January, didn't he?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. 21 years old.
They bought him instead of Zaha.
I've got a good mate who's a Watford fan. And I spoke to him in the last season. I said, all right, who's going to be... Because Watford have always got a few young, decent players knocking around. And he said, only one kid to look out for, Marvin Sordell. He's absolute mustard. Oh. And obviously he went to Bolton in the window as well. So I'd be interested to see what he does. So, all right, let's move on. I'll put it out there, fellas. Anything else?
Yeah, lots of stuff.
Go on, then. I'll kick off. Ronaldinho.
Yeah.
Did you see this?
That's
yep.
So unfortunate.
John Day, have you seen this?
I've actually seen it. No.
He was at a press conference for Atletico
Mineiro.
Mineiro. Yeah, thank you. I knew Sean would get that. He's got he's got a Brazilian girlfriend.
Colombian.
He lost the £500,000 Coke sponsorship deal because he sat in the press conference drinking two cans of Pepsi.
Yeah.
No. I don't think he was even drinking it. No.
Well, there was two cans in front of it.
Yeah. He was sat next to a can of Pepsi, right? And
it was their other new signing. He didn't say so much in the press conference.
But he was like they've Stuart taken Hall, away his half a million pound sponsorship because he sat next to a can of Pepsi. I'm That's sorry. Harsh. He didn't even drink it. He sat next to it.
But Atletico Mineiro have a deal with Pepsi. They're their official drink supplier.
So that's right. Ronaldinho's now been canned.
Yeah,
good one, John. Yeah, you can come again, John. John's in. So that has got to be the most expensive can of pop ever. Yeah. Absolutely ever. Darren Fletcher, so he's got a job for life at Man United. But Ferguson came out and basically said he's got a job for life at this club if it doesn't go well for him.
It's not confirmed,
but it really sounded like he was alluding to the fact that he might, because he's still not got back into training.
It's a real shame. I hope he does manage to get back to some kind of semblance of a playing career. But
do we know the ins and depths of the problem? Apart from bowel irritation?
Yeah. Pretty much,
Sounds like he just has the shits a lot.
That's exactly what I thought.
Yeah. The fact that you said that was bad, the fact that three people laughed as well, including a girl who's not even zoned in. While we're talking about Man United midfielders as well, Michael Carrick has now made himself available for England again.
Good.
Yeah?
It'll be exactly the same. He always got into the squad under Capello and other managers, but particularly under Capello, which is when he finally came out and said, I don't want to be in the squad anymore. He always got into the squad, but he never got any time on the pitch.
No. He's a bench warmer.
He's a solid backup to have in your back pocket.
Okay, but let's be honest. If Ferguson is picking him week in, week out with Man United,
I think he offers something completely different.
He's a spectacular player, isn't he? He's not going to change.
Gareth Barry's not a spectacular player.
But the way we play.
So, okay, Carrick or Barry?
Carrick.
Exactly.
But why start either of them?
So, and what do you think of his stance when he came out and said, right? So basically, he said it's not about I don't want to play for England, it's about me putting myself on the line, going out to all these places and not getting any game time. I think that's fair enough.
Yeah.
I think that's completely fair enough because he literally didn't get any playing time at all under Capello.
I did that with my school team.
What sort of places did you travel to for your school? It was a lot of travelling.
Yeah.
Away from the family.
Three miles down the road.
Niggling injuries.
Yeah. Away you just got to have to all over Croydon.
From Crystal Palace to Croydon.
Yeah.
Is where you had to go.
Yeah. It's an adventure.
Yeah, it definitely was.
All right. Go on. I've brought two or three things to the table.
Well done, Tim.
Yep. Should we talk about Pompey? Dire Straits there.
I think we need to have the funeral march.
I read this morning that HMRC or the administrators, I think it was actually, came out and said that
a lot of people have come out recently.
They a whole firm of administrators apparently. They reckon that Pompey may be wound up on August the 10th. I mean, they always say
this. When you say wound up,
as in like pissed finished. Off. Yeah,
yeah. Oh, they're pretty bloody angry. Did you see Kanu basically didn't turn up for training?
Mm.
The club saw it as a sign for, right, he's one of our highest paid players, we'll get him
get
off the
rid
wage
of him,
bill.
Yeah.
When they said, right, we're going to sack you, or we're going to get rid of you, he went, all right, yeah, you can do that, I'm going to take you to court for the £3 million you owe me.
Yeah, Tal Ben Haim reckons they owe him £2.5 million. £2.5 million to Tal Ben Haim. No wonder they're in the shit.
But it's a horrible situation. Kanu is like
£3 million to 47-year-old Kanu.
Yeah, exactly.
Still playing in the Olympics, though.
Oh, yeah, 22.
Kanu is like a club legend. He won the FA Cup for him and all that sort of stuff. And he's now. I'd be interested to know what Pompey fans are now thinking about Kanu. It's not him that's done it, but if they're going to try and get rid of him and he's sticking his heels in, £3 million is £3 million. It doesn't matter how much you paid. He probably doesn't need the money.
Them players have signed a contract for a certain amount of time to get paid for a certain amount of time. It's the owners who've given them.
Yeah.
It's their fault. It's not the players' fault. We wouldn't leave our job just to help the company.
The fans are basically now trying to meet with some of the players.
No.
They're trying to meet with some of the players and say, look, basically the club's in your hands. You've got a,
how many players they got now? They've only got
eight.
Players.
They went on a tour. They're still looking to recruit Isaac McLeod, who was a brilliant in League Two last season, top scorer, courted by a lot of League One and League Two clubs, if not Championship. He went on trial with them, so they've obviously potentially got wages to sign him up.
Isn't he still contracted to where is he? Barnet?
No, he's out of complete free agent.
Right, okay.
I mean, so they've obviously, and if they can sort the mess out, Portsmouth are a good team. Like,
yeah,
people will want to go and play for him in League One because the wages obviously aren't going to be.
Yeah.
But the FA have already said to Wickham Wanderers, who finished the lowest, or the highest of the relegated teams, because Wickham were getting excited, thinking, right, we're not going to be in League Two. If they go out, we'll be back up in League One and they'll promote from the conference. The FA have said if Portsmouth do go under, they'll play the League One with 23 teams and one less club will be relegated.
Right, okay.
So Wickham do have to play the likes of Gillingham and.
God, that must be terrible.
Yeah,
for
Fleetwood and those sort of stuff.
Yeah.
Wickham are hardly the biggest team ever. So.
Well, exactly. Well, yeah, but I mean, if you've got a chance to stand in League One, you're going to want to take it, aren't you? Also, the Southampton Benton scandal has happened since we last had a show as well.
Yeah.
It's gone a bit quiet now.
It has.
What do we make of that?
Well, yeah, it's exactly the same as the kind of things that people were jailed for in cricket. With the, obviously, like Mohammed Amir and all that in the Pakistani team.
There was a few no bowls.
Yeah, exactly.
In football?
Yeah, well, kind of. It was like basically
they
were betting on
that.
No, I don't know what I'm talking about.
They were betting.
Klaus Lindervam was playing for Southampton in the late 90s.
Yeah, he played there for ages.
But the stuff we're talking about, in Norway there was a betting scandal here. Klaus Lindervam did an interview where he basically said, well, it happens everywhere. It used to happen when I was at Southampton.
Yeah.
So they got what? And he's basically said that. Matnitzer had alluded to it in his book, but everyone just sort of thought, oh, that's a funny story, brushed over it. Basically, the Southampton players allegedly got together and would bet on the first throw-in.
Yeah, who would have the first throw-in, who would take the first throw-in.
If they're playing Coventry, they go up to Gordon Strachan as their captain and say, look, Gordon, let us take centre. Flip a coin, but can we take centre? Why is that? Oh, we've got a betting pool, we just want to kick it off so we win the money for you get the first throw. And they were like, all right.
Yeah,
so for the first 10 seconds, they've... Southampton players all got together. There was about 8 or 9 of them, pulled in some money, gave it to the kit man, go down to the bookies, put the money on, playing Coventry to win the first throw at like 50-50 odds or whatever. Then they made sure that they got the centre, the idea being give it to Matisse and he'll just boot the ball out. It just looks like he's trying to find someone, but
trying to ping it out to the left wing, but
pings it out to the left wing. Shipley's playing up front for him, didn't know about it all, managed to keep it in with a header. So they're all like, what the hell?
Seismic. I'm surprised that it didn't rebound.
But I mean, when Matt Letizia said that, everyone laughed about it because it's quite a funny story.
Yeah.
Now Klaus and Lutz Farms basically said, yeah, we used to do it week in, week out. Only for
a short period. It wasn't for long. Yeah.
But still,
he says things about, oh, it didn't impact him in the game. He's talking about things like corners and things.
The fact that they're colluding with the captain of the opposition team, even if it's in a very small detail like the centre, that's still.
Definitely
happened. Yeah, things impact.
Well, no, you're right. Yeah, we've seen goals scored in the first 10 seconds, 12 seconds of a game from a centre, and because something's happened. Who knows if they'd actually tried to score?
Yeah, exactly.
From that, instead of getting a throw in, they could have gone 1-0
up. It's all a sequence of events, isn't it? If something happens, then that wouldn't have happened. But yeah, it was an interesting
one. Action, butterfly effect.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see.
Exactly.
Be interesting. Be interesting to see where that goes and what happens with it. So we'll keep an eye on that and we'll update you.
Yeah.
Naughty boy of the week.
One
of Naughty Boy. I don't see him being that naughty, really. He was just, but it's just more the point that he's now best mates with Dean Gaffer. I think that's naughty.
Go on, Mario.
That's naughty enough of himself. Mario Balotelli.
And the fact that he didn't know who Gary Lineker was.
Yeah.
Was quite good. To his brother.
No.
Yeah, he was like, who's Gary Lineker?
He was in Lineker's
bar. Yeah.
And Gary Lineker's brother went out to him and he was like, oh, Gary Lineker. And Brad says, I don't know who this is.
Yeah.
Joking.
Yeah, seriously.
That is brilliant.
But he spent the largest
ever bar tab that's ever been in Lineker's in Ibiza. And bearing in mind.
No, Lineker's in Ibiza is very new. It's only been open about a week, but any Lineker bar worldwide.
It's any Lineker bar worldwide. It was.
They've just opened it this summer, Lineker's bar. That's why all the players were out there.
Right.
Any Lineker's bar. Like throughout the whole 80s, and they might imagine how many gangsters and stuff have turned up in the Lanzarote and the Tenerife.
Yeah, definitely.
Do we know the tab? Do we know how much?
No, we didn't release the.
Let's be honest, he probably spent more in the next club he went to. Dean Gaffney just raving.
But what looks like the odd couple, isn't it?
Like, Mario Gaffney, Balotelli and Dean Gaffney.
Apparently, they were speaking in broken English. Didn't really like the conversation was just a bit ridiculous, but they found a common ground.
Who do you think this was worse?
Yeah, you're right. That was one of them.
I think Gaffney gets bad press. I think he's all right. Hang on.
Yeah. What's your basis on that, Jim?
My friends were out there.
Yeah, right. I heard he thinks he's well odd.
That's really good. Well done, Sean. Well done, Sean.
I'll give you that.
All right, let's move on. Something else.
Well, another naughty boy. In theory, Eric Cantona.
Yeah.
Smashed the table.
That's pretty naughty.
So supposedly some geezer was in Spain, I think, just on holiday. I think it was Spain, on holiday, and was drinking a bar. And he met this lad.
Eric Cantona's son, isn't it?
Yeah, so he met this lad, and apparently this fella said, where are you from? The guy said, I'm from Manchester. And he said, red or blue? He said, red. He said, my dad's the king of Manchester. He said, what do you mean? So it's Eric Cantona. And on the outside, these guys are pretty chuffed. Started chatting away. And Raphael is his name, is Eric Cantona's son's name. And he told him that on the day City won the title, as Aguero scored that last minute goal, supposedly Cantona has absolutely kung fu kicked the shit out of a coffee table. Smashed it to pieces.
Just the fact it was a kung fu kick as well.
Yeah, exactly. Imagine it was, what's his name?
Eric Cantona, he loves kung fu. Yeah, that's it. But yeah, so he destroyed it. It just shows how passionate he is about United still. And it was his own coffee table, I think, right. So it doesn't really matter.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. No harm done. Some harm done. Ryan Shotton, charged with assault after an alleged nightclub brawl at Pink in
Hanley. Young player of the year last year.
I presume Hanley is a suburb of Stoke. In which case, I'm sure it's a lovely club.
It's really nice.
So he's going to be due in court. I think the incident happened in a few weeks ago, in like end of June.
When he's back from tour, he's on tour in America with Stoke at the moment. So when he's back, the court case is, I think, next week, Tuesday.
They might throw the book in, but if they do, he'd just pick it up and throw it back further. be absolutely fine.
Speaking of Stoke and going to America, Jermaine Pennant.
He's not allowed.
He's not allowed to get
anything
left behind.
Really?
Because of his criminal conviction, they wouldn't give him the visa, a work permit. I don't know if that's a work permit, because I suppose it's a working visa, whatever it is. They wouldn't give it to him because of his criminal conviction.
Brilliant.
So he's been left behind, which is quite amusing as well.
Fair dose.
Just going back to one of our classic bad boy. In general, Joey Barton. Have we all seen his new website?
It's actually good, isn't it? I'm not talking about us physically, I haven't really read the content, but no. If you go on it looks like a nice website.
Yeah, and it's just a bit, I mean, it's basically, it lets you into the mind of Joey Barton.
Jesus.
And, yeah, I know.
I'll sit down for a while.
I think the 18 certificate warning comes up before you, but it should. But no, it's just about stuff like, is there any point in the royal family? And is it necessary for the fat cat taxed? And all that sort of thing. And it's not even football related. It's all about...
Does he have any proper insight into it, or does he just kind of go off on tangents like he normally does, quoting Nietzsche and
pretty
like,
much.
Yeah.
Why don't you just concentrate on playing football and not being
he's got a bit of time on his hands at the moment.
Now we've got on to Joey Barton. Have you seen what QPR, their cunning plan?
The loophole.
What do we all think to that then?
I think it's a disgrace.
What's the loophole?
Basically,
I know he's playing in friendlies for Fleetwood at the moment.
That's right. What they want to do is loan him out to Fleetwood for the duration of his ban, and officially then he would, it basically cuts off a couple of games from his ban for QPR, because Fleetwood season starts a couple of weeks before the Premiership.
But they play midweek games, so obviously he's got back for 12 games. He'll be back in October.
And League Cup, probably, and stuff
Yeah, exactly.
Like that.
So is he banned from playing for Man City?
No, he's just banned from playing FA games. It's an FA ban.
Probably not Man City.
No, not Man City.
He's definitely banned from playing for Man City. Yeah. He's banned from playing FA games.
Fleetwood are in League
Two now.
So why is that not an FA game? They are all FA games.
In the duration of his loan spell, they will have played
a great number of games.
Right, I'm with you.
If he stayed at QPR, he'll be come back in November. If he went to Fleetwood, he'll come back in October.
And apparently he might be allowed to play in friendlies for Fleetwood as well.
He can.
Which is quite interesting, because they've got some decent friendlies coming up. But yeah, no, we're keeping an eye on that one.
Bloody cheeky, but It's pretty clever.
I don't think it's true business from QPR.
Yeah. If you know what I mean. It's good for Fleetwood as well. Yeah, very true.
They'll have him on the books. He can't play, but he'll be in the stands.
Got a load of mates there, apparently.
Fair yes.
Yeah.
Fair yes.
I thought that was Fleetwood Mac.
Yeah, there's rumours about that, but anyway, Nottingham Forest. Comings and goings there. Steve Cotterill did a fairly good job yesterday. Got him out there yesterday.
What did he do yesterday?
The gardening, like.
Yeah, probably not. To be honest. Probably played football manager and did it about all times as Forest.
Yeah, exactly.
Steve Cotterill's one of those managers that everyone seems to respect within the game.
Yeah.
So when they, basically the new heirs came in and just sacked him straight away and said they want to bring their own stamp in. They said they want to bring in a massive named manager.
So hide Crawley Town, Sean O'Driscoll.
Well, yeah, but they spoke to Mick McCarthy. Mick McCarthy apparently turned them down. Then it was rumoured it was going to be Hoddle.
Hang on, Crawley Town. They brought in Crawley Town, who's only been there 5 minutes.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Only just gone to Crawley.
So he'd been there since the mid-May.
Yep.
Yeah.
And yeah, so a massive kick in the teeth for Crawley.
Yeah.
Massive kick in the teeth. And I quite like Crawley. I used to hate him because of the manager, but I quite like him now.
I think the money's running out at Crawley. So few people.
Well, that was happening. That's why Evans left, pretty much. And the fact that he was just horrible. So, it'd be interesting to see how he gets on. Another one I saw in terms of contracts coming and going. Chris Kirtland signed a contract with Sheffield Wednesday, and there was loads of rumours that after signing 2 weeks after, he was ripping up the same contract because he'd been given a better deal elsewhere.
Really?
It's a bit of a fall from grace from Chris Kirtland.
Well, I don't know. They're a championship team now. He's probably on a decent wage there. Yeah. To be honest, Sheffield Wednesday could well be up there challenging for the playoffs as well with the momentum.
They've got the fan base and everything.
Yeah. But he basically came out now and said, no, it was a private matter. I didn't go on. It missed the pre-season tour of somewhere.
Yeah.
It was all these. Welcome back to the Football Podcast. We had to stop there because...
It's so hot, our phone stopped working.
Our very efficient recording equipment.
Right,
it's very sensitive to the light. Our iPhone got too hot and it turned itself off. So we believe we were talking about Chris Kirkland's, long story short, given a contract, about 2 weeks later, looked like he might try and rip it up and go somewhere else, but he's not now, it's all okay. But if you actually look at what he actually said in terms of the statement, it does look a bit strange. It's personal circumstances or something is what he claims. But it looks like someone could have, like an agent could have been on at him, just pulled him aside, going, look, no, you're staying there, good deal, there we go. So he's going to be playing a goal for him.
So I've got one more naughty boy of the week.
Go on.
Mentioned. I know you're going, but Luka Modric.
That's fine,
he's a proper naughty boy.
Very strange. The press have not been that critical of him, to be honest. I think
it's because of his history.
It is, yeah, because of last season, the fact he wanted to go, then he just got his head down.
Yeah.
But imagine if it was like a Bellamy type figure, or Balotelli. The way Tevez thing was handled.
Exactly.
It would be absolutely. Yeah. And the way the press construe it just means people formulate different opinions.
Yeah. Exactly. I mean,
as a Spurs fan, what's your stance on it?
I really just want it to be done and dusted now.
There's such a difference between Real Madrid are not going to pay more than 25, 26,
27.
27
you want 40, and he's going to stick to choosing, isn't he?
PSG
have come out and said they're going
to pay 40, but he doesn't want to go.
Does Modric want to leave Spurs for PSG?
He doesn't want to go to PSG.
I wouldn't. I wouldn't, because I'm work at the Mirror.
I'll definitely sign
for PSG tomorrow.
I think he might have had a bit of bad advice, possibly, from an agent as well. We just don't know. But
he's apologised, though, hasn't he?
He did a runner, took back to Chrysler, and then after Levy, I mean, one person you don't mess with, one chairman you don't mess with, is Daniel Levy.
Yeah.
Like, he's not going to take anyone taking the piss out of him, or Tottenham, or whatever. So Modric has thought, I'll do a runner, this will help me out. Levy's gone, get your ass back in now, I'm going to fine you for every day you're away. He's come back and gone, sorry about that.
And he has fined. He's only on £40,000 a week. Is that right?
No, he's fined him 15 grand a day. So work that out.
Wow.
70 for 105. Yeah. I make out 15 grand a day. Unless do they pay him Monday to Friday?
But they must have to, because if it gets into the month, they'd be tight, wouldn't they? like we do, we have to
count the pennies.
Bring your own food in from home. Cook a big curry at the start of the week.
What he does.
By the way, thanks for my lunch today, Jim.
Bless Luka Modric. Bless him.
But yeah, so he's been a naughty boy, but hopefully that'll get sorted out as soon as possible.
Someone who isn't a naughty boy, someone who's a genuinely nice guy, it seems, Michael Owen. Jay's got some Michael Owen news.
He's made a bit of a mistake, I think. A lot of players do this. Mainly ex-players do this, and just get a feel for the fans. A lot of people thought he was an ex-player. So he's done a question and answer on Twitter last week.
But not for the first time.
Not for the first time, no.
No, he's just done a general, right, I'm going to do a little Q&A with Michael Owen.
About my career.
The last one was about, your favourite chocolate bar or something.
He's not a fan of double-deckers.
He's not sure about them.
Oh, yeah.
But I'm presuming there's some decent questions there, but some funny ones as well. A couple of them here. Where do you get your tickets from for the match? I see you every week and you get good seats in the crowd.
Did he reply to any of these?
I don't. There's no replies on this, so I don't know. He probably did it, to be fair. He might have done. He's a good man, I suppose. What's your favourite sport? Football, shooting peasants. Anyway.
Right.
Don't even get that one.
No, do I.
This is, God, I like well done for reading it out, though, Joe. Well done.
No, thanks, mate.
Pick that one out.
If a plane leaves at 8:53 a.m. and another one leaves at 9:32 a.m. and both travelling at 532 miles an hour, at what point do you realise you're still a belly?
Oh, that's quite
fun. That's quite fun. But basically, what he did, he put a Q&A out, and all he got, well, I think like 90% of what he got was just a barrage of abuse. And it just... I think it was just picked up on by a lot of journalists and stuff. But it was like he was trying to do something nice for the fans, and he just got absolutely rinsed. And I don't really know where the sort of not the hatred, I suppose, but the real dislike for Michael Owen has come from. Really,
no, like, he's I not, suppose a lot. Maybe a lot of people say he's earning a lot of money doing nothing.
Doing nothing, yeah.
Yeah,
maybe
is
that his fault though?
No, not really.
Yeah, no, I think it's a bit harsh that he got absolutely rinsed on Twitter just for trying to do Q&A.
You see what else he's been doing on Twitter this week. He's been complaining
about 30p
for a pee. He wrote, succumbed again, arrived at Euston Station, burst in for a wee, paid 30p to relieve myself.
Then he had a wee after.
It's the principle that infuriates me. So yeah, he's obviously...
he's not doing himself any favours.
No, exactly, a little bit
hard. He's only got notes, hasn't he? Yeah, notes with a Q&A section on him. Right. We've got John Day here. John Day. John, you work at A Mirror of Us. What's your official title?
Legend? No, I mean, listen.
With the ladies, allegedly.
Yeah. Not allegedly. We've seen them in action.
Go on.
I look after the Mirror's fantasy football game.
You do. And it's lovely, isn't it?
It is brand spanking new. So we've changed our name and upped our game.
Is
that the tagline?
It is now.
It should be.
So basically, in terms of our listeners, why they might like it is because it's free.
Yeah,
like the podcast, which is free to download. This is free. You could set up your team. It took me about 2 minutes to set my team up. Have you done yours yet?
And are you happy with your team?
No, because we talked about this earlier. We both put Cahill on them. But I can change him, can't I?
Yeah, you can change it.
Yeah, okay, cool. While we're talking about that, Cahill obviously going to
Red Bull.
Just a strange one from nowhere.
Really strange.
And a very, but supposedly, a very quick update about this in a minute, but there was big rumours he's a Western Sydney boy. And there was talk about him going to Western Sydney, our new club.
Excellent, yeah. I'm glad you're going to do an update on that.
Anyway, so basically what we're going to do, I'm going to tweet the details, I'll put them on the website as well. I've already set up a podcast league. My team's in there. We'll get all you guys in there. So if any of the listeners want to put their team in there, you can join as many leagues as you want, can't you?
Yeah, there is a limit, but it's not like it's about five or something. I'm sure you can all get involved in the podcast.
So what's the website address?
It's fantasyfootball.mirror.co.uk.
And it's £100,000 prize, isn't it?
£100,000 prize, yeah. £5,500 up for grabs every single month. And I say it's totally free to enter, simple to play. Get your team now.
You can also, if you like, put...
why are you doing a sales voice as well?
Yeah, that was the ultimate sales voice.
Yeah,
from
but
John
I can Day. Understand that from John. That's why he's come along for. What are you? What are
I
you
don't
saying?
Really know.
Also not available.
Sure. Just use your normal voice.
Well, yeah. I've got a little Messi in my team. So you can do that, can't you?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you can put.
Yeah,
your
so own, another factor of what the
sales voice.
This Love new it. Game is that basically, have you ever wanted to put Messi or Ronaldo in your team?
Yes, I have.
There you go. This year, you can.
Oh, what the hell are we watching here?
Right.
Is this the worst product placement ever? Well, I'm watching it, aren't I? It's just you two bouncing off each other.
This is like one of those late night TV shopping products, isn't it? All for just $9.99.
Have you ever wanted to shampoo your cats? Well, now you can with cat poo. Shampoo for cats.
Yeah, got it.
The code to enter our league is 800791. It's 800791, and then the league name is Pubcast. You need that as well. Capital P U B C A S T. But don't worry about it now. I'll tweet that later in the week anyway, and we'll put it on the website as well. So we'll see how many we get in there, and obviously we're going to be looking at that most weeks as well. So if you're in there, you'll probably get a mention on the show most weeks. But thank you much for that, John Day. Bye bye. Capello to Russia.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, enough not? Said about that.
Six
brilliant.
Well, do you know,
6 year deal. How old is he going to be in 6 years?
6 years older than he is now. His win percentage with England is the best out of any manager, 67%.
He is.
So what, like, good riddance, and what he set up for John Terry, because it's what he believed in, has now been proved right, because the Terry's...
wrong. Oh, sorry, he was proved right.
Yeah, he was proved right. He stood up for Terry because he said he's innocent until proven guilty. It turns out he was innocent and then proven not guilty.
Yeah.
So, yes, what's your beef with him? Just because we were so bad at the World Cup?
Yeah, I agree.
So he's got a 6 year deal, which takes him up to the 2018 World Cup, which is in Russia.
Up to and including.
The contract finishes at the end of the home World Cup.
It'd be interesting to see, because obviously he plays quite I think, and obviously with Russia, they're very fluent in flexible players.
I think he will produce a really good Russian team, and I think certainly in 2018, potentially in Brazil as well, but in 2018 at that World Cup, if he's still there, which, let's be honest, you can't.
No one knows.
I would be 6 years time. I'd be amazed if he is still there, to be honest. But that's a good deal for him.
Yeah.
But there we go. And Les Davis of Bangor City. Sean.
Yep. Basically, it was Les Davis of Bangor City in the...
I was just going to say that then. Yeah. Go back to me. Thanks.
The Welsh Premier League. He has been shortlisted for European Footballer of the Year.
Wow.
Basically, what it is, how the nominations get kind of made is that... shut
up. Right out of time here. How the nominations get made is something.
So basically, he's along the sides of like of Iniesta, Ronaldo,
Messi. Exactly.
Well, how is he on this list? 27-year-old part-time footballer from Wales. What has he actually done? Is he a good player, or is it all like a... Because when I saw it,
kind of a publicity stunt for the League of Wales.
Okay.
Football writers from across Europe have five votes for people they can put into the shortlist.
Yeah.
Pretty much everyone included Messi and Ronaldo. So there weren't that many players that people were voting for. It was kind of like everyone was like Messi, Ronaldo, Iniesta, Xavi, etc. So one journalist for Welsh Daily Post thought he'd thrown a curveball, voted for Bangor City's Les Davis.
I think he deserves an award just for having a living banger.
Yeah, true.
What name, though? Just because one report voted, he's on the list.
Yep, because there were only about 32 players that were actually voted for. So.
And what's he actually done? Has he had a good season?
Yeah,
or?
He was Supporters Player of the Year for Bangor City.
Why him out of everyone?
I'm not sure. There's a guy overlooked, Reece Griffiths, who's been top scorer.
They didn't overlook Reece Griffiths,
did they?
Everyone always does.
Griffo? Yeah, exactly. He has been top scorer in every one of the last seven Welsh Premier League seasons. He scored 180 goals in 181
games.
Where's
his big move to?
Well, I don't know.
He's
just
big
moved to Port Talbot or someone.
Oh, well, it's bloody outrageous.
Exactly.
He's going to sell out to Port Talbot. Good luck to Griffo.
I mean, Les Davis.
Put my Spurs hat back on really quickly.
Knocking your Spurs hat off really quickly.
No, stop it. Ledley King. I've got to give him a mention. He's been a wonderful player and a wonderful human being, it would seem.
Wonderful human being?
Wonderful. Well, he's never...
He's always tumbling out of clubs with his knee.
Once. Come on.
Was he the one that pissed on a table and pissed off the side of it?
No, might have done. a wonderful player for Spurs.
Has he still scored the Premier League's fastest goal?
You might be right, actually. I don't know if anyone's got any quicker.
I believe it's against Bradford City.
Good knowledge. You didn't do that in your sales voice, though. Can you do it again in your sales voice?
I'm not really selling it.
Well, you're not selling it to me. I know. No.
Wonder what sort of player he could have been if he had both knees.
Very true.
Good luck to him. It's great to see that he's still going to be part of Spurs. It's a shame he's got to cut his
career short. When you say what a player could have been if he had two really good knees, some part of me is like, I could have been a really good flyer if I could fly.
It's not, is it?
Well, yeah.
Well, it's not, but
he probably would have been a better player if he was injury free for a lot of
people. I just watched one of the clips, and about that tackle when Robin was through on goal. It was wonderful. Robin's through on goal, he's about 30 yards behind him, and somehow King has made up the ground. Got back just as Robin's about to pull the trigger, he's nipped the ball away. And you can see the speed the man had, and we'd like to say with one
hit. Iron Robin?
Yeah.
And he was bloody rapid as well.
Which is what I mean. And he caught up Robert, and he was just the thing that a lot of people say, that if he'd been fully fit and he'd had both knees, then how would he have stayed at Tottenham as long as he did? Because he could have gone on to bigger and better.
But then if Robin had had a built-in jetpack, he would have been a better player as well.
He was so nearly a world-class player.
He was.
I remember him scoring a goal in the Euro League against Portugal. In a warm-up. So anyway, Mad Dog Allen has started his antics at Gillingham.
Yep.
Turn up to a pre-season friendly with his dog on the bench. I'll put this photo on the website, but yeah, he just turned up with his dog. And apparently, he was doing post-match interviews.
Someone's got to look after it.
Post-match interviews, and the dog was just like doing roly-polies in the background of the TV camera. Well. So he's just brought his dog along.
Got a job to do at the moment, because he likes dogs.
Yeah, that was very expensive. And one other thing from me, Gillingham sold a goalkeeper, you might have seen it, Paolo Gazzaniga, who's a 19-year-old Argentinian that we got from Valencia on a free transfer, sold him to Southampton for quite decent money, and he came out and he did a thank you to the Gillingham fans. I'm going to put this on the website as well, because it's just brilliant broken English. You can tell he's tried to write it himself. I'll just start it off. I won't read it all, but hello Jules, I find it impossible to answer your every message, so I leave this letter. I want to say thank you for all the past year. We got nothing important. Full stop.
Brilliant.
Thanks to the Jules fans, we did absolutely nothing. But it was trending on Twitter, because it is really genuine. It's really nice, so I'll put it on the website.
On being a Twitter, does anyone follow David Luiz?
No.
He is an absolute nut job. And he's got an obsession with the word geezers. It's his favourite word, geezers. And he's like, out in training today, lots of love. Love you guys, geezers. fucking brilliant.
Brilliant.
But sorry, before we, last thing as well, anyone watching the Open the other day will have got a surprise on the Saturday. When, for some reason, Carlos Tevez decided he fancied being a caddy for the day.
Yeah, I saw it. The guy came about 20th, didn't he?
Good
input there from Jay. He went, then let you carry on.
I'm going to let you carry on.
No, I was just going to say, he's obviously rocked up at the Open. And I'm pretty sure, I'm not really funny, that caddies aren't just there just to carry a bag.
They've got to give advice and stuff.
They have got to give some serious technical advice.
Every hole is like, just walk off. don't play it. Don't play it.
You don't have to.
Don't want to play it. Don't want to. But it was bizarre.
That golfer dropped about 8 shots that day as well.
What do you reckon? He was at the tee and he turned to Tevez and Tevez had left the club. Like he usually does.
Where's my 3-iron? I left it. But yeah, really random. Like, you'd never see something like that.
The Gulf authorities are saying that should never happen again. No sort of substitute.
I can't. But I mean, it's the Open. Not a massive golf fan, but I know that I'm pretty sure that's one of the most important tournaments of the year.
It's a major. One of the majors. Yeah. But I don't think he was in contention anyway, so I thought we'd have a bit of a laugh.
Talking of majors, you just reminded me of something. Do you remember when we had...
John Major.
John, no.
Sergeant Major.
Well, I'm talking about John. John Moore, Show 69, came along and we helped him do his dissertation with loads of questions.
On Saturday.
We bet with him on Saturday. He got a first in the dissertation and a first in the degree overall.
Brilliant.
And it was highly commended. So we might have to go and help him do some prize giving stuff and whatever.
Definitely.
Oh, amazing.
But yeah, so he got a first. So
I never went to university, so I'm taking that as a degree.
If you didn't listen to it.
Association with.
Yeah, exactly.
If you didn't listen to it, Show 69, if you're on iTunes, go back. It's still there, you can download that and listen to that for free. It was quite an interesting one. Just asked us a load of business based questions, but a little bit different for the podcast. There was no Naughty Boys that week, which was a little bit annoying.
Naughty Boys were there that week, but
possibly they were still there, they were still raping and pillaging people. We just didn't talk about them. Right, anyone else before I do a bit of housekeeping?
I'll do a quick update on Western Sydney, they are playing their first competitive game on Wednesday.
What, friendly or?
Yeah, no, pre-season.
Okay.
Playing against...
It's not that competitive.
Right, oh, it's a... any game's competitive, for fuck's sake, isn't it?
No, I'd say a competitive game would be a league fixture or a cup.
Well, they've got their first game anyway, yeah. Let's stop haggling about their
technicalities,
yeah. Come on, let's get on with it. We're trying to wrap up.
Sean's getting you to hurry up. Jesus Christ. Poor Kettle Black.
Sorry.
Shut up.
Western Sydney Wanderers have... Sorry, Sean. They've got a game against Nepean FC on Wednesday night at Cook Park in St Mary's. Yes, Cook Park. But they've still only got 9 players signed for them.
Really?
Popovich has got they've only got 2 months before the start of the season against Gold Coast, who's only finished top.
Yeah.
Popovic has defended it by saying no, that he's got a real strategy. He wants to be playing proper football, as in, like a real passing game mentality, and he doesn't want to. And he's been getting a bit of stick for not signing up enough players quick enough. But he said, you know, I could get a load of players in, I could do it, but I want to make sure that I make this team properly. Is it,
how are they going to play their friendly with just 9 players?
I think they've got youth team players, I think it's 9 first team players. Right, they've got people, youngsters on trial and stuff like that. But he said that one of the best signings they've made is Ante Milic, who is going to be his assistant coach, who has just come from Melbourne Heart.
Oh, really?
I feel bad now.
But he only started on Monday because he was held back from Melbourne Heart until leaving from then. But he said it's a really fucking.
Just checking out sweat marks.
So
when's the game coming up soon?
Wednesday night. So it must be tonight.
You could tell us next Wednesday then how they got on in their first ever non-competitive game.
I believe we can.
Sure.
But very quickly, a bit more.
Very quickly.
Shut up.
On there.
We'll be the judge of that.
Adelaide United announced a trial of this new foreign player with great pedigree. Apparently he played for Valencia and Ajax. His name is Dexter Rosales. Had a big press conference. He didn't turn up. Turns out they did a quick Google of him. Doesn't exist.
What? Was it Graham Souness?
Yeah,
or George Weir's uncle?
George Weir's uncle called him up.
Sorry to stick the boot in a little bit more, Shawnee, but I think we're going to have to do next week. I might have a little counter on it of how many times you managed to say, before you actually say something.
This is a bit harsh.
I'm angry.
I'm going to cut in. Go on to the website, www.footballpodcast.co.uk. Email us, banter@footballpodcast.co.uk.
We can't finish on that.
Yeah, we can. I've got something else. Don't worry, I've got something nice for you. I've got something nice for you. I'm just going to skip to the next week. Facebook.com/dfootballpodcast. Complaints?
Simon Head.
Always the same. Follow us on Twitter @footballpodcast.
I've got a real issue with that Dan Silver.
And so we're going to finish on a nice spin. We've got a new review on
iTunes.
This is from MattFitz85. Light-hearted banter from genuine football .. I don't know what it says after that because I printed it off too small.
I'm hoping fans.
Yeah, probably. Been listening to the football cast for a few months now, and I have to say it's one of the few podcasts I eagerly await the new edition of each week. This is the guy who said he was having a bad day and then a good day when he came through.
Good
lad.
Listen to you on the commute into work, and it makes the journey tolerable, although I do get a few funny looks when I laugh along to the naughty boys. I'm presuming he means the section rather than us. If I had the time and witty banter to record, I'm sure you've got witty banter, man.
Yeah, you've got great banter.
Don't put yourself down.
I'm going to change it to just the time.
No, I bet you don't take a podcast.
This would be it. Sat around a pub table, having a few beers, discussing the week's football with your mates, as well as the talents of the various bar staff. If you need a standing guy, let him know.
She is still here.
Amy, would you like to get bigger? Amy, blonde with big tits.
I've got bigger tits.
Fair.
We all just looked, didn't
we? Show 89. I've got bigger tits. Instantly a few more listeners.
Definitely.
And if you said if you need a standing guys, let me know. Then he's got his Twitter. So follow him on Twitter @MattyFitz. MattyFitz. So that's a nice way to finish it.
Yeah, nice way,
Sean wanted to knock your block off, isn't it? We're all off to stare at Amy's tits.
Hey.
Bye.
Cheers, MattyFitz.
I've got to edit it now. Jesus.
Fucking hell.